Shalom Mishpocha. Shalom family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Paul Keith Davis. I'm going to take you back a ways, Paul. You were not raised in a church-going family, but at age 12, you had an amazing encounter with the Lord. Tell me about that.
Well, I certainly did. It was certainly a life-changing event for me. I had not had much experience with God. I'd just been to church on a very small scale. But at that age, I had a cloud come down and talk to me, and I didn't even understand it at the time, but He spoke to me about myself, and he spoke to me about himself, and I actually asked the question. I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am God." And when he said that, that expression set parameters in my life that though I wasn't born again, I had an awareness of God and even a love for God. And it was many years later, as a freshman in college, that I was born again.
But then let me take you back. Did he give you any insight into your life back there at age 12 or no?
No, mainly what he did, he gave me an awareness of him, that he was there, that he loved me. I was very much aware of that. I felt the most incredible sense of peace. I remember the event. I'm 51 now, but I remember the event now as if it were just yesterday, and just the sense of calm, perfect peace, security that I felt in the experience set some parameters, because I was about to go through a 5 or 6 year season of my life that was very, very difficult. And without that revelation that he gave me that day, I probably would not have survived it.
Well, and from what I understand, you had an abusive home situation, but you were an athlete. You got a scholarship to college.
Yep.
And you say that when you went into business, you missed it. What do you mean?
1979. I went to college in 75, and believe it or not, we had an incredible group of dynamic Christians at our university, Mississippi State University, and so I had 4 years of discipleship in college, which is very, very rare. And by the end of 1979, as we were about to graduate, the very same young man that had led me to the Lord came to me and began to talk to me about my destiny and being filled with the Holy Spirit and living the Spirit-filled life. And I actually rejected it. I just had not really seen the fullness of what I actually preach now. I had been pulled between two camps, what was known as the Maranatha group, which was Bob Weiner's group, you know, on the universities in those days. And then
at that time, that was really booming.
It was incredible. You know, some of the most dynamic, evangelistic, on-fire young Christian you've ever met. And I turned my back on that in order to go into the business arena. And it cost me 10 years, but thankfully the Lord redeemed that time. But it was also a learning experience.
Now, when you came back in 1989, it was almost like the giftings you had, the revelatory giftings you had, almost lifted when you went into business. And when you decide you're coming back to serving the Lord first, they came back.
That is exactly right. And interestingly, the very first real revelatory experience I had on a personal level was far the very young man that led me to the Lord in 1975. We had not had contact in 10 years. I had accepted the fullness of God, had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I had a vision, word of knowledge experience, and I called him to give it to him, and it just so happened that he had just had a car wreck that week, and the whole word was about how the enemy was trying to take him out. And he was in Virginia, if I remember right, and I was in Mississippi at the time, so we had no contact, and so it was just a very encouraging thing that the Lord picked that person to be one of the first revelations.
And one of the things I find interesting is you've made it a point to study people with revelatory gifts and study their lives. So why do you do that?
That's a great question. Starting in 1989, I began to have encounters with God that I had no grid for. I would be taken into visions, and I didn't even understand what a vision was. But I would see things. I would see experientially truth that was being lived out. I'll give you an example. In those days, it was not uncommon. I don't know exactly how this works, but I would be taken into a meeting that was taking place in the 1950s. And it was like I was able to watch William Branham preaching and ministering or some other minister of that generation. And so when I would come out of that, I would go to the Bible. And I would see in the Word of God the very thing that I saw being demonstrated in those meetings. And so as a result of that, the only source of understanding that I could find was to go to those people and begin to understand their ministry. The very first person that I studied was Kenneth Hagin. I read a book by Kenneth Hagin called I Believe in Visions.
I read that same book.
And it changed my life. That was when I began to realize, oh my goodness, the Lord still does today everything he ever did in the Bible. And that was revolutionary for me. And so as I would begin to have these experiences, and you know, the thing is, I wouldn't even seek out these materials. Many times people would bring them to me. I would get something in the mail. I would just stumble across some person's ministry like Smith Wigglesworth or John G. Lake or Amy Simple McPherson. And one lady I love was Mariah Woodworth Etter. And much of what I saw in my experiences was demonstrated in Mariah Woodworth Etter's ministry.
Now, I knew a little bit about her from reading, but you bring out facts about her I've never heard before, like when she was called to preach and the word was right on the wall. Tell me about that.
The most amazing thing, she writes it in her own diary, and she tells of her commissioning experience having had a hunger for God. But because of the circumstances of her day, the late 19th century, unable to minister, she had married someone that had been injured in the Civil War, and their life was very, very hard. She had buried five children. And one day she turned around in her little Midwest cabin, and there stood the Lord Jesus Christ right there in her cabin. By her own words, he was standing there just like he appeared to the 11 disciples in that upper room that day. And he asked her a question, a strange question, maybe the ones he's asking us today. He turned to her and said, "Why aren't you in my vineyard?" And she said, "Well, Lord, I'm a woman." And I'm pretty sure the Lord knew that before he showed up, but he apparently didn't have a problem with that, and so I certainly don't either. And so he then asked the question again, "Why aren't you in my vineyard?" And she said, "Lord, I don't know your word." And she had always had a hunger to go to Bible school, but because of the circumstances, couldn't. So she said, when she said that, the Lord pointed her attention to the wall in her little cabin. And right there on the wall was a Bible supernaturally imposed, and she said the glory of God was emanating from it. And the moment her eyes fell on it, she said that in her own journal, she said, "I understood it from Genesis to Revelation."
My goodness, I'd kind of like to get in on that particular one.
I would. You know, the same thing happened to Roland Buck. You know, Roland Buck had over 2,000 scriptures inscribed upon his heart in a revelatory encounter in 1977. And so I know God does that. I think we still have to study to show ourselves approved. But on some level, it's very possible that the Lord can show up and take our understanding to an entirely new parameter.
Now, we're making available this week your new book, Angels That Gather. And I imagine it really came into being in 2003 in Albany, Oregon. Tell me about that experience.
Very unusual day. My wife and I had traveled from the East Coast to the West to do a church dedication. About 1,600 people were there. Had traveled all day in the airport, you know, not very much of us. I wasn't praying and fasting. But when we arrived in Oregon, my wife was very tired. She stayed in the hotel room, so I went to the service just to say hello to everyone. The service had already begun. Don Potter was leading worship, and I stepped into the side door of the sanctuary as they were about to lead me up to where the pastor was. And the moment I set one foot into the sanctuary, I saw the people as they were worshiping in the natural. But with my next step, what was in the natural was in the spirit. I don't know how it happened, but it was just as if my spiritual eyes were open, and with my natural eyes, I looked across the back of the church, which was a very wide church, and angels were standing from one corner of the building to the other. They were about 6 feet apart. Each one was, I would estimate, to be 7 to 7.5 feet tall. I'm 6'2", and so they were taller than me. So I'm just estimating I was about 25 feet from them. I'm still walking, but I'm looking at them with my natural eyes wide open. And I noticed that some of them had on a golden sash. Everyone had a white robe, but some had a golden sash. Some had a belt around their waist that was made of a golden rope-like material. They had a very unusual countenance. I've seen a few angels, not a lot, but I've seen some. But these had the most unusual countenance of any I've seen. It was very inviting. It was as if they showed up, you would know that everything was going to be okay. And they just were standing there watching worship as it was going on. And I asked the question as I was walking. I said, "Lord, who are they?" And instantly the answer came back in a very resounding way, saying, "They are angels that gather." And to my knowledge, I had never heard that expression before in my life.
Why did you write this book?
That book was birthed out of that experience and then subsequent ones that came after that, because the Lord has given us a message concerning the harvest. And the very fact that we saw those angels is proof positive that we are in the generation that Jesus referred to in Matthew 13 when he said that the Son of Man will send forth his angels that gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and everything offensive. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father, verse 43. And he said in that parable, interpreting his own parable, that at the end of the age, there will be the harvest. And at that time, he will send a specially equipped company of angels to co-labor with us to bring in a harvest. And of course, what he has told me since then is that this first wave of harvest will simply be a harvest of harvesters. That what we're about to see right now in this next season, and we've been in it for it to a measure, but not on the level that we're about to see. But we're going to see an incredible wave of harvest in the days ahead, right now, starting right now. And it's going, and we're going to think it's the great harvest. But the Lord said, no, this is just the harvest of the laborers.
And now, you also talk about in your book that it really equips people to enter into this harvest, but it's an end-time harvest of souls, of promises of God, of commissions, of mantles, to equip the equippers. We're out of time. The book's available for a donation of $20. Call or write today for Angels That Gather.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.